Looks like everybody's here, so why don't we get started?
KVI.com, Podcast Central. When 3 hours of radio just aren't enough, and there's a lot more inside his mind, this is John Carlson's And Another Thing.
Well, you know what they say. You don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle.
Now we're cooking with gas.
It's Thanksgiving Eve, the John Carlson podcast of record going forward here. Some great news stories. So let us start with this update on a story we brought you a little over a week ago. I wish it was a positive update. Unfortunately, not so much. Jenny Lee Thompson had stood up as the owner of Cycle Bar, a workout facility in the South Hill area, Spokane, and said, "We are not closing down. We don't want to close down. We are not the problem. We're not spreading COVID." And because she and another gym owner, different kind of workout facility in Seattle, had said he wasn't going to close down for the same reason, they were showered with angry, vituperative, hateful messages to the point where the gym owner in Seattle said he's closing up shop and he's pulling back because the threats had, you know, went way beyond, "I disagree with you, I think this is a bad idea," to threats. And he didn't want to endanger his facility. Wouldn't you know, in Spokane, it's the same thing that is happening to Jenny Lee Thompson. She said, quote, "I've received threats of assault, of being run off the road in my car. The only car we have in our family is a Subaru wrapped with the Cycle Bar South Hill logo. You can't miss me. And someone said they know I drive that Subaru with the Cycle Bar graphics, and next time they see me, they're going to run me off the road. Last night, I received voicemails and text messages alluding to someone showing up at the studio to harm me. Police reports have been filed. I finally purchased a gun and am waiting on the normal background check. It couldn't happen any faster. I'm heading to the shooting range with a gal pal today. She's the wife of a special ops vet. She herself has extensive experience in gun handling and safety. I've rented a car to drive around instead of my Subaru with our company logo. So now I must lay low. Maybe I'll even head out of town for a bit. Because somehow in this upside-down clown world, people find it okay to call me a homicidal maniac for wanting to keep my business open, but then turn around and deem it appropriate to send me death threats. Their lack of introspection is alarming." So that is the reaction that a gym owner gets for pointing out that neither her facility nor any facility has been linked to even a single case of COVID. That's from the Inslee administration's own Department of Health. The Department of Health has said not a single case of COVID from any gym since they reopened with social distance protocols in place has been responsible for any coronavirus outbreak. Not one case of COVID. And yet they remain locked down. And Jay Inslee yesterday said he might extend the lockdown on companies, restaurants, movie theaters, gyms that are not linked to COVID, but are experiencing terrible harm because he doesn't know what else to do. That gives you an idea of the ineptitude we've got right now in Olympia. All right, let's move from Olympia to a key United States Senate race in Georgia. As you know, The Republicans have 50 seats in the United States Senate. You need 51 to control the chamber, because if it's a tie, then the vice president of the United States, who serves as president of the Senate, gets a vote and breaks all ties. I don't need to tell you that Kamala Harris will be voting with the liberal majority. And so it is absolutely essential for the Republicans to win at least one, and preferably two, so they have a bit of a cushion. So the Republicans will have a 52-48 majority in the next session of the U.S. Senate. The good news for the Republicans is that both of the Republican candidates ran ahead of their Democrat opponents. Senator David Perdue ran ahead, several points ahead of John Ossoff, and in fact almost averted having to do a runoff. And in the other Senate race, where appointed Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler, she is filling the last 2 years of Johnny Isaacson's seat in the Senate. She is being challenged by the Reverend Raphael Warnock, who is a radical preacher who is trying to present himself as a centrist and a unifier. Only problem is, when you're a preacher, your words are very much a matter of public record. And his words are anything but unifying, and they're anything but moderate. We've already pointed out some of the things that he has said. You can't worship God and be in the military. He has refused to answer questions on court packing. He has said that America suffers from Trump supporters need to repent, that they didn't make a mistake, but that supporters of Donald Trump, people who vote for him, need to repent for having voted for him, and that they worship whiteness. And now we have the Reverend Raphael Warnock in the pulpit a few years ago saying that racism is baked in the cake of this country's history and DNA. Literally, have a listen.
America is suffering from a deep spiritual problem, and what we are seeing is just symptomatic of our sickness. You ask yourself, how in the world did we end up here? Because this is bigger than the normal kinds of partisan debates that go on. We're in a special moment. We are in an evil moment. We are in a tragic moment. And I suggest to you that our politics is symptomatic of our sickness. We've got a lot of problems, but I would not be a prophet if I did not tell you that racism is America's pre-existing condition.
I see. Okay. We're a sick society, and racism is America's pre-existing condition. You know what? This guy's not only got it wrong, but he's got it backwards. There is no society in the world that is as diverse and where the standard of living is as high for more people than it is right here. I don't believe there is another country where Hispanics and African Americans have a higher standard of living than they have here, yet we are constantly told that oppression and pervasive racism is preventing people of color from succeeding in this country. And this guy is thriving on that division and on that myth that any problems in America, any disparities are all because of racism. And it's not about culture, it's all about color. And yeah, the elites in American society, in other words, those who are far removed from everyday reality, where America is very much an integrated company, or excuse me, where America is very much an integrated country, where people work together and socialize together and intermarry people of different ethnicities and different races more than ever before. Our elites are hyper-focused and obsessed on the issue of race. They are the ones who have the problem, not everyday Americans. So Raphael Warnock can try and sell this, and the elites will love it. They'll love it on CNN's panel discussions and MSNBC and the people at the mainstream networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, will be nodding along in sympathy because they don't want to look like they don't sympathize. That would look at the very least insensitive. But the vast majority of people know better. So keep getting the truth out about Raphael Warnock. And while we're talking about national stories, a provocative study just out, Media Research Center, yesterday released the results of a survey that said nearly one in six Americans who voted for Joe Biden would not have done so if they had known about just one of eight important stories that a surprising number of people don't know much about. The polling company surveyed 1,750 Biden voters in seven of the swing states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Six of those seven states have been called for Joe Biden. The poll found that 82% of Biden voters were unaware of at least one of the following news stories. Only 5% said that they did not know about all eight of them. Here we go. The Biden sexual assault allegations, Tara Reid. 35% of the voters, of Biden voters, hadn't heard about it. Okay. The Hunter Biden scandal, 45%. Remember, that was where Twitter locked the New York Post and Facebook clamped down on people disseminating the New York Post story, which turned out to be true, and big tech tried to lock down access to the story. 45% of Biden voters in those seven swing states were unaware of the Hunter Biden story. The news that Kamala Harris is the most liberal senator in the country, 25% said maybe they hadn't heard that. Now, that's only one in four. What that suggests to me is that explains one huge reason why Kamala Harris was practically invisible on the campaign trail. Kamala Harris did not do a single press conference or press briefing during her entire time as vice presidential nominee. We've never seen that before. They basically, speaking of lockdowns, locked her down. Then there were five positive stories for Donald Trump. 33% economic growth during his presidency pre-pandemic. 49% of Biden voters weren't unaware of that. That pre-pandemic, Donald Trump created over 11 million jobs. 40% said they hadn't heard of it. Unprecedented, at least in the last 40 years, unprecedented Middle East peace deals that have made that region more peaceful and Israel more secure than any time in the last 40 years. 43% of Biden voters were unaware. 50% of Biden voters did not know that the United States was now energy independent. And get this, 36% had never heard of Operation Warp Speed, which is responsible for creating the conditions to get a vaccine available in record time. Now, I understand the media playing down stories that were negative for Joe Biden. When it comes to positive stories for Donald Trump, of course the media is not going to publicize those. They usually lowball and give scant coverage to news that is positive for Republican office holders, especially during an election. So you know what? Part of this has got to be on Donald Trump. Donald Trump's campaign, if you think about Donald Trump's campaign in the last couple of months, it wasn't that there was no message, it's that there were so many messages. If Donald Trump had focused on Operation Warp Speed, if he had focused on how much growth we had and how much growth we will have again, if he had focused on bringing peace to the Middle East through negotiation while reducing our military footprint and making America energy independent, we don't have to rely on other countries for our energy anymore, at least while he's there. That would have taken him a long way toward victory. It's not enough to say that Joe Biden opposes fracking. What he needs to say is Donald Trump's support of fracking has made the U.S. an energy independent nation. He had a lot of great things, positive things to talk about. And I think that those three or four important issues that should have been on the minds of people when they walked in to the voting booth were not on their minds. You have to emphasize your message over and over and over again so that it gets through to people who are busy and don't pay much attention to politics and don't even watch cable news. So I believe that if the president had focused more on his economic record and his legacy of peace abroad and making America energy independent with a vaccine coming around the corner in record time, I think that that could have taken him a long way to a second term. And with that, I want you to get out and have a great Thanksgiving weekend, a very enjoyable Thanksgiving feast. Maybe talk to someone you haven't talked to in a little while, lift their spirits, and let you and I talk again next week.
John Carlson's And Another Thing, when 3 hours of radio just aren't enough. Listen to The Commute with Carlson weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 570 KVI and every day at KVI.com. KVI.com. Podcast Central.